Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, joined by my co-host, Landon Mance. How's it going today, Landon?
Good morning, brother. Doing well. It is a brisk morning out in Las Vegas. It was like 20 degrees when I left the house this morning to go do an Orange Theory.
Well, I just honed in on the fact that you went to do an Orange Theory in the morning. So that was more shocking to me.
Hey, we're talking about resetting, goal setting, coming into 25. I got to start out on a strong foot, especially because I'm about to be a dad for the third time.
Yeah, I get it. So you kind of just introduced the topic. It's actually a topic that I'm extremely passionate about. I think the reality is setting goals, reviewing performance are critical to success in life, in business, in pretty much anything that you can think of. If you don't set a goal and you don't review how you did and make adjustments to be able to do better going forward, it's pretty tough to be successful. Essentially, it turns out if you're successful, it really does come down to you just kind of fell into that success.
And that's why when you come into the new year, I mean, it's something that you should be doing multiple times throughout the year, checking in, meeting with your leadership team, having conversations around what's working, what's not, what are small incremental changes that we can be making, what are nagging issues or current issues that have popped up, how do we put our heads together and solve them? You know, so you should be doing those things regularly throughout the year, but this is really the time of year where we all kind of like hunker down a bit and we tend to have a little bit of extra time on our hands because it's the holiday season and everybody's slowing down and getting into that mindset. Well, it's an opportune time to sit down and check in with yourself, check in with your spouse or your significant other, check in with your kids, check in with your business partner, check in with your pastor, whoever it is. It just helps to shift that mindset into a mindset of growth, of productivity, of excellence, of whatever it is that you're trying to shift and change coming in the new year. It's a great time to sit down and check in with yourself on all these things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the annual goal setting and review process is critical. And like you mentioned, the quarterly process or even more often, whatever is just as, well, I shouldn't say just as important. It is also extremely important. I'll just throw this out there. If anybody's listening and you're running a business or you want to run a business, if you haven't read the book Traction, you should. Gino Wickman has a book. It's called Traction. It's quick. It's an easy read. I would recommend actually having it in a paper format. You can listen to it as well, but I would recommend having it in paper format where you can kind of highlight some things and make some notes of some things that you're going to do differently. There's a whole ecosphere of people out there who help you implement this in your business. And a lot of times that's extremely helpful. I've seen people who have been able to pull it off running it, self-implementing and going through this process themselves, but it's rare that you can actually find success in implementing it yourselves. You typically need somebody who's able to facilitate that for you. So if you want more information, reach out to us. We're happy to talk about how that works, put you in touch with somebody who might be a good coach for you or implementer. It may be something that's a good fit for us to work with you. We're happy to have that conversation. That's not the intent of me mentioning this. It's just that whole process is what Landon's talking about. It's about regular check-in. It's about setting goals in the long term and then backing them down to bite-sized goals that you can accomplish every single day. And on top of that, I'd add one more to that. And that's really kind of a way to even go further than the way that the Traction book and process puts it out there. And that is the book Atomic Habits. If you can use that process to set goals, to make changes in your life, it will put you on a trajectory that that's important going forward. So I do want to just mention real quick, and then Landon, you probably have something to add here, but I mentioned I'm extremely passionate about this. It's something that I believe in. It's something that I think that I'm pretty good at myself. I think we do a pretty good job of it in our own business. We're not perfect by any means, but it's something that I use as a basis. So we will write a business plan every single year as a business. So Landon and I, since we became partners, we'll write that business plan together. But then there are also personal aspects of that business plan that are important. And I just want to kind of put out there that you shouldn't just have business goals, but you should have personal goals. And then have accountability partners, right? Either a specific person who holds you accountable, or just letting people know that you're doing something from a goal standpoint. So I've mentioned this before. I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I did an Ironman about a year and a half ago. And I think Landon got frustrated a little bit, or at least just kind of rolled his eyes when how often I would mention to people that I had that race coming up. Well, I did that specifically because the more people you tell, the more people who know that you're trying to accomplish something, the more that they will ask you about it and ultimately hold you accountable to it so that it does ultimately get accomplished, right? Now, what a lot of people didn't know is that I did it this way this time for the first time. This is the third time that I had attempted an Ironman 70.3. And I say attempted because the first two, I didn't finish. I didn't accomplish the goal that I set out to achieve. And so this time, so many people knew about it that there was no way I was not going to finish. So it's just, that's one lesson that I think that's important from a goal setting standpoint. Have personal goals and make sure that people know about what those are so that they can hold you accountable.
Yeah, no doubt. So a little self-defense here. I never rolled my eyes. Did you talk about it a lot? Yes, you did. Was I greatly impressed with your planning strategy and your workout routine and your schedule? I absolutely was. And I was very privy to all of the details, right? Because we obviously are partners and talk. I did not know that you attempted two Ironmans before. I knew you had done one, but I don't think I realized that you had done two. So you just notched yourself up a little higher, buddy.
Yeah, I had attempted two prior. The first one, I had no business being out there. I wasn't even close to being ready. The second one, I was ready, and I had some unforeseen circumstances with a back issue that made it so that I ended up being 2 minutes too late on the bike to be able to go out for the run. So that one I ultimately could have completed if it hadn't been for the delays on the bike with my back.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, so you made some really good points that I want to build upon a couple of those. So I want to talk real quick about facilitation. So we believe deeply in the power of facilitation. If you are in a position with your business where you can afford to have ongoing facilitation for your planning and your goal setting and your leadership meetings, get-togethers, retreats, what have you, it's kind of hard to explain in words the power of facilitation. You kind of have to experience it. We have had facilitators come in for us and facilitate our planning sessions. We've done that multiple times. We usually do it at least once or twice a year. So facilitation is essentially just bringing in an outside party to lead and guide really productive and meaningful conversations, either just with yourself, essentially, or with you and your business partner, or you and your leadership team, you know, managers and their teams, whatever the case may be. But facilitation is just, it's so powerful. And again, you need to just experience it. If you never have, highly encourage everybody to give that a shot. A great facilitator is a guy up in Utah. His name is Dale Majors. He's a very successful entrepreneur, really great dude. He'll do some facilitation, really high quality for a very reasonable price. So you can find Dale on LinkedIn. Austin and I do facilitation for a very select group of our clients just because it's a lot of work and we are limited on time and resources. So we have to be very thoughtful in who we take on to do that, but can't speak highly enough about facilitation. Last point I'll make here is on the accountability side of things. If you're not in a position to have a one-on-one coach or do one-on-one facilitation, then a peer group is a great alternative. You know, there's a lot of really good peer groups that are popping up to kind of combat the, you know, really high ticket groups like Vistage and, you know, and EO. For example, again, Dale Majors and some of his partners got some great peer groups out of Utah. Tribe is a new peer group that's kind of hit the scene running the last maybe 6 months to a year. So Tribe has some great groups. Rand Larson, he's got some great peer groups as well. So peer groups are a great way at a very affordable price point to get some facilitation, to get some accountability, to get some collaboration with other entrepreneurs that are at similar stages in you. So highly suggest looking into those two if you're not doing those already.
Yeah, definitely great point. I mean, having people around you who can hold you accountable, I think, is extremely important. And from a business standpoint, unless you are in business with your spouse, it probably shouldn't be your spouse, right? The reality is if they're not in the thick of it with you, or they don't have a business background, or they're not running a separate business simultaneously to you, they're probably not the right person, one, just because they don't have the full understanding necessarily. And two, it can be detrimental to your personal relationship if you're basically laying that all on your spouse's doorstep as well. It adds additional stress to a marital relationship or a partnership relationship that just really shouldn't be introduced, because personal relationships can be hard enough on their own. They don't need to have the additional stresses and information from your business as well. So Landon, let's kind of just maybe bullet point some of the things that business owners should be looking at. So what do you do at the end of the year to kind of do an assessment of how things went? And then let's just kind of bullet point some different things that each business owner should be aware of and think about as they're setting out to set their goals for 2025.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, and I think everybody's heard of a SWOT analysis, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. It's a 30 to 60 minute exercise. You sit down, you draw a rectangle, draw a line up, a line across, and you got four boxes. And sit there and just kind of reflect on what has worked, what are the challenges that you have, that you faced, and you can capture those in a really exercise through a SWOT analysis. So that is just a quick thing that you can do to kind of check in with yourself. Now, another thing to consider is a dashboard. So recently, my bookkeeper for both businesses, he does books for the tree business and for Backbone, he created a dashboard. And essentially, think about like the key financial metrics that you want to be keeping a really close eye on, because it really gives you a sense of how your business is doing financially. He's helped to capture, I think there's 9 metrics. Now, 9 is kind of a lot. Do you need to keep an eye on 9 metrics all the time? Probably not. That's probably overkill, especially if you're just getting started. But maybe you start with 3, right? Identifying 3 metrics. And if you don't know how to do that yourself, talk to your bookkeeper, talk to your tax person, and just have a quick conversation and say, hey, I want to keep better track of some of the important metrics that I should be considering. What should those look like? Or you can go on and ask ChatGPT or whatever AI software that you use, and you'll get some great insights there within a few seconds, and that won't cost you anything. So that's a good idea, to have a dashboard where you are tracking a couple of key metrics and follow those metrics throughout a quarter, which will ultimately help, hopefully lead to following those throughout the year, because you will see that as they change and iterate, you will start to know just intuitively that something is off or that something is really on. So if it's something that's off, obviously you need to check in, understand what is going on and how to fix it. And if it's something is really working really well, you can pull that lever a little bit more. You can add a little bit of gas to the fire, whatever analogy that you want to use. But that's a great way to get into a cadence of identifying, keeping track, managing a couple really important metrics that you, that we all should be keeping track of on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I mean, I think that's really assessing how you're doing on a day-to-day or week-to-week or month-to-month basis. And I think that that's really the key point. Like, there is a reason to look at things at the end of the year, but it shouldn't be the one and only time that you're looking at how you did for the year, because there's the financial metrics and so forth. So getting to the end of the year and saying, okay, how did we do? Okay, that's great. But you really should be looking at that on a month by month basis. Or if you set a personal goal, right? I mean, to use my Ironman analogy, if you set a personal goal to achieve an Ironman, and on December 15th, you look at your goals and go, oh crap, I said I was going to do an Ironman this year. Well, I guess I've got 2 weeks left to do that, right? Like, it's just not feasible. Goals should, in my mind, you can have shorter term goals and you can have longer term goals. And if you're setting an annual goal, it's something that should take the better part of the year for you to achieve that. And you've got to monitor it throughout the year, not just at the end of the year. Yeah. And a dashboard's a great way to do that.
Yep. Why do we as human beings and as entrepreneurs, like, why do we need to do that? And as I reflect back on the times when I have set annual goals, but I haven't broken those down into quarterly goals, right? Because when you set the annual goal, you reverse engineer by setting quarterly goals so that you can check in with yourself along the way and understand how much traction that you have made towards each of those goals. And I think as human beings, when we set those annual goals, it's so far out there. If you do not have a tried and true method to actually track your progress towards that goal, I think the likelihood of achieving those goals goes down, I mean, significantly. Maybe not to zero, but I'd say pretty dang close, just because it's just a flaw that we all kind of have as human beings. If we are looking at something so far out in the future and we have no strategic way to keep track of our progress along the way, the likelihood of achieving those goals becomes, I'd say, very close to zero.
Yeah. I mean, here's the reality, Landon, this, if you think about it, it may not be obviously top of mind for you, but 2 years in a row, including this year that we're in right now, I have put on our business plan a personal goal for me to get my private pilot's license. And I did not do what you just laid out, right? Oh, when I get through this group of reviews, then I'll schedule it. Oh, wait, now it's getting pretty hot. I don't know if I want to be up there in the airplane doing my flight lessons when it's really hot in Phoenix. Yeah, they say they have AC, but gosh, do they really have that? So if you don't do that, if you don't follow your own, the guidelines that I'm laying out here, then you get to the end of the second year in a row and you haven't achieved your goal.
Yep. And so you think about, like, if we kind of double click on that for a second, it's like, all right, well, if your goal is for 2025 to get your pilot's license, how would we reverse engineer into achieving that goal? So in quarter one, again, I don't know the steps necessarily to get your pilot's license, but in quarter one, the goal might be research and find a class to pick and pay for that class, right? So that's quarter one. Quarter two is you start the class, and maybe that takes you quarter one or quarter two, and it takes you quarter three. I don't know. I'm just making this up. And then quarter four is log 50 hours of flying time now that you've passed the certification class. So and then maybe you do some final test, and then you've got your license. But breaking it down into bite-sized chunks, it's much more palatable and manageable to get something done when you're thinking about it in these little, you know, 90-day sprints, as opposed to this massive marathon that is just kind of overwhelming without a plan to like get you to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you basically laid it out, and that's where I dropped the ball. I mean, I know the process. I started my pilot's license originally when I was 17 years old and planned on being a commercial pilot, right? And then when you can't get trained in the military with the glasses that are on my face, even to this day, it's got to be uncorrected 20/20 vision. So you can't have had LASIK, you can't have any of that in order to be trained as a pilot in the military. And being trained as a pilot not in the military can be pretty darn expensive. And I thought, you know what, I don't want to start my life with as much debt as a doctor, right? Somebody who's gone through medical school and maybe not have that same earning power. So that's where I made my change, but I love flying and I want to get back and do it. But 2 years in a row, I have neglected to do that. So I'm committing right here today that I will lay out the quarterly and the monthly plans to get there for 2025. It's time. Right. I mean, I just need to get this done. I need to get it finished. It's something that's important to me, and I want to get it done. So I will get it done in 2025. We actually have a message in our chat feature here from Nathan Larrivé. You know, I don't know if he pronounces it that way, but in French, that's how it's said. He says, I agree with Landon here about yearly goals. Tracking monthly and quarterly progress is the way to stay accountable. He's right. Right. We got to break it down into bite-sized chunks. All right. So going into 2025, Landon, we're kind of running out of time here real quickly. What are some of the bullet point things that every business owner should be thinking about? So personal goals, check. So make sure you have at least one, what I would call uncomfortable or big personal goal for 2025. What else should they be looking at?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just rattle off like a couple of things which could be and should be identified by doing a year-end check-in, SWOT analysis, whatever you want to call it with yourself. But a couple of things that you can consider coming into 2025. So your talent and your leadership, right? So your people in Traction and EOS, they talk about right people, right seats. Do they get it? Do they want it? Do they have the capacity? Do they have the drive, you know, to do it? Operational efficiency. So thinking about process improvement, thinking about tech automation, what are some operational efficiencies that you can create coming into 2025? It could be as simple as signing up for a scheduling software. So like Calendly, where you're not manually scheduling your meetings anymore. It can be something as simple as that. Growth in your marketing strategy. What worked in 2024? What did not work? Check in with some of your peers. What are some of the things that they're doing in a similar market that might work for you? We're doing a brand refresh, right? So on the podcast, Tycoons of Small Biz, little spoiler alert, as we come into 2025, it's going to look different. So we're doing a brand refresh to more align with Backbone Planning Partners brand. And then last but not least would be like exit and succession planning. Austin, you throw this phrase out all the time, which is like begin with the end in mind. And that is kind of pie in the sky for a lot of, you know, SMB owners, but it is extremely important to build, as you build the enterprise value of your company, to really understand like what your future exit may look like and to be able to track how you are growing and building your enterprise value. Because if you're going to transfer your business to your kids, or you want to sell your business and maximize every single dollar of value out of it, like, those are very different trajectories that you're going to be on. So I'll leave it at that and close us out here, sir.
Yeah, I agree. So first, I got to mention, we did get a follow-up chat from Nathan, and he says, perfect pronunciation, Austin. It is French, which I lived there for 2 years and studied French for 10 years. I have a bachelor's degree in French. So hopefully I can pronounce that word at least. But yeah, no, I think, Landon, this is the time of year where it's a perfect time to assess how we've done personally, how we've done as a business, and what didn't we accomplish this year that we want to make sure that we accomplish next year. That's the reality. That's the gist of the message that we're trying to get across here. But there are specific things that a business owner should be looking at, right? And to be the best business owner that one can be, that includes your personal life. That includes taking time for you personally and setting a goal that's important for you to achieve, that helps you feel accomplished, that helps you build an identity for yourself outside of your business, outside of being a business owner. The reality is most people, when they're asked if they say that they're a business owner or they own a business, there's a different mindset there. A business owner is who you are. If you own a business, you own an asset or an investment like any other asset or investment that you have. And sometimes our whole being gets wrapped up in being a business owner. And that's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But the reality is we are whole people. We are more than just business owners. And if we ultimately want to sell our business in the future, like you talked about with exit and succession planning, we're going to need to be something else besides a business owner when we transition. Otherwise, we run into big problems mentally afterwards. So that's part of the process, is making sure that you view yourself and understand that you are more than just a business owner. You're a father. You are somebody who cares deeply about their community. You're somebody who cares deeply about this. You've got to have other things in your life besides your business. And here's the crazy thing. If you have those other things that are important to you, it makes you a better business owner. Mm-hmm. It makes you more successful. So be a well-rounded, be a whole person, set the goals, follow the financial stuff, follow the exit planning stuff, the things that Landon mentioned, make sure that you know your numbers. That is huge. Make sure that your financials are clean. All those kinds of things are super important and that you're following them. But just make sure that you understand that you are more than just a business owner. You're somebody who owns a business, and you have other things in your life that are important. That will make you a better business owner overall.
Yeah, well said. Thanks for joining. We'll see you guys maybe later this month, most likely in the new year. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, everybody. To your success.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guests, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.